Welcome to my Anthropotter podcast series. My name is Diane Walters, and I'm a potter and a teacher, and I have been for over 42 years. Every potter knows where their still point is. And I've been really looking at the anthropomorphic aspects of being a potter and working with the living earth, and finding our connection to the earth, and how we fashion that into a creative process. And out of so doing, we become more and more ourselves. So sit back and listen and see what you think. From the beginning of time, cosmic evolution has created form, from particles into atoms, atoms into galaxies and stars, stars into elements, elements into molecules, molecules into life, and life into art. It's change and diversity rolled into one. All creation is an ongoing metamorphosis all around us and inside of us. It is the essence through which life itself develops, and that expresses itself wherever life is. It is the art behind life. The connection between a potter and her clay goes back to humans on the planet, cross-culturally around the globe. According to the Quran, God created humans from clay. In Jewish folklore, a golem is an animated anthropomorphic being that is created entirely from inanimate matter, usually clay or mud. In Greek mythology, Prometheus molded humans out of water and earth. In Sumerian mythology, the god Enki created a servant of the gods, humankind, out of clay and blood. And in the Epic of Gilgamesh, Enkidu is created by the goddess Anru out of the clay to be a partner for Gilgamesh. In Egyptian mythology, the god Khnum creates human children from clay before placing them in their mother's womb. And according to Chinese mythology, Noah molded figures from the yellow earth, giving them life and the ability to bear children. In the Babylonian creation epic, a goddess created humans from clay. And according to Hindu mythology, the mother of Ganesh, Parvati, made Ganesh from clay and turned the clay into flesh and blood. And in the Hawaiian tradition, the first human was made of muddy water, and his female counterpart was taken from his side parts. The Yoruba culture holds that the god Obatala likewise created the human race from clay. According to Genesis 2:7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and humans became a living soul. The Maori people believe that the god of the forest created the first woman out of clay and breathed life into her. According to the Inca mythology, the creator god formed humans from clay on his second attempt at creating living creatures. In the Korean narrative, humans are created from red clay. And I was recently introduced to the story of Sky Woman by a Mohawk friend of mine, who is a woman who falls out of the sky and becomes the living earth as she lands on the back of a turtle. Humans are made from her belly. So when a clan member meets another clan member in the Iroquois Nation, they often say, "What kind of clay are you from?" My name is Diane Walters. I am from Edmonton, Alberta, the land of shale and clay. And it's also the home of Plainsmen, the source of where I buy my clay that I work with in the studio. I grew up with parents who owned a rock shop, and I spent my entire life looking at rocks and minerals, digging them out of the earth, and becoming fascinated with the sedimentary rock formations of the earth and all manner of rock that we would mine and pick and break open and discover and name and classify. And now I'm still doing that, but I'm doing that in my pottery studio. And as I name and classify the minerals that go into my clay bodies, then I'm also naming and classifying the minerals and chemicals that go into my glaze bodies that fit over the clay like a glove. As a potter, I've learned more about myself through the act and art of creating from clay than from any other aspect, I think, of my life. I've learned to move through the transformation from one shape into another. Every potter knows that there's an interplay of tension which goes from strength to softness when you find your own still point and the still point of the clay. It's the heart of the pot. When you open the clay, widen the bottom, and bring up the side of the cylinder or the bowl, you're touching the inside and the outside at the same time with that wall, and there is the same consistency, the same even grain, the same plasticity, the same moisture inside and out. What you do discover is that as the pot rotates on the wheel, you can touch it at just one point, at any point, and the whole thing changes form. It's a continuous flow. Wherever we touch life, we form it, MC said. It's an old teaching that human beings are a microcosm of the universe. We actually move in opposite directions simultaneously, in and out, up and down, dark and light, giving and receiving. The crossing point is that threshold place where both movements coexist. To feel the possibility of living in oneself as if one were a crossing point is perhaps a part of a new quality of consciousness. Every step comes along in its own time to carry us to the next step. Everything happens in order that the next thing may happen. When we encounter crises, we seek the new thing. What is so fantastic is that we have at the same time total diversity and total relatedness. We can be both totally separated and yet intimately connected. Many of the words you have just heard and will continue to hear comes from my mentor and teacher, MC Richards, who I worked with for 6 years as her last apprentice. She wrote Centering in Pottery, Poetry, and the Person in 1962, and her words are eternal. Some of the atoms which led to galaxies and stars and heavy elements are known to the potter as feldspar and silicates, iron and nickel, and magnesium, which are also found in meteorites and asteroids and the body of many of our planets. So to take cosmological evolution into the pottery studio is to know the source of creation behind art. The geological connection between what is going on in the life of a pottery studio and what is going on underneath and above the earth is a fascinating one. It's like the primary rocks and minerals of the earth's crust crystallize from magma, and which comes out of volcanic activity. Every kiln firing works with the idea of what igneous and metamorphic processes out of magma comes from. It occurs when the heat of the kiln melts all the glazed materials on the wall of the clay or the wall of the pots, and it transforms these materials into a liquid stage or magma. So we have a mini volcano going on in each and every kiln firing. The metamorphic processes are reenacted when the heat of the kiln fire bakes the soft clay body minerals into an impermeable material. So from stone into magma, back through the kiln firing, back into stoneware. So on a miniature scale, there's a universal drama of the earth's formation, which is reenacted with every kiln firing. I find it interesting that I fire my kilns and most of my work to the same temperature as lava is when it comes out of a volcano, which is between 1093 Celsius and 1260 degrees Celsius, which is the final temperature of the stoneware kiln fire. William Bryant Logan, in his book, now out of print, called Dirt, The Ecstatic Skin of the Earth, identified what clay is in this way. The clays, unlike their parent rocks, have no inaccessible interior, but instead a very large, reactive surface. They unlock the potential waiting in raw matter. Clays stack, wrap, pile, and exfoliate, like leaves and sheaves of paper. In fact, experiments have shown that a single gram of clay powder can have a total surface area larger than a football field. But clay is more than an empty book. It is encoded with a vast array of possible meanings. Each layer of clay is a matrix of molecules that is well ordered, but marked with a succession of dimples, holes, and ragged edges. In other words, each layer of clay is a template with tendencies. Thank you for listening to my Anthropotter series. You can find me at Earth Studios Nelson on Instagram or Facebook, and you can give me a like, follow, or subscribe if you liked what you see and you want to hear some more. I've got a whole lot more for you. In the meantime, stay creative.